I followed Tate back to the area outside Mona's office. A portion of it, including the section where the cleaning lady had collapsed, was now cordoned off, and there were about 10 police types milling around. Detective Tate left me outside the office while he conferred with one of the crime scene personnel inside, and then he motioned that I should enter. A young woman in an oversized navy blue jacket turned and looked at me. "You want to indicate where you found the victim?" "Her head was about an inch or two from the desk leg, in that direction," I said, pointing. I moved her about a foot away so that she wouldn't bang her head. Tate led me out of the room. At first I thought he was walking me back to my seat, but we kept going, and it became obvious that he was escorting me to the door.
"Here's my card," Tate said, tugging it out of his wallet. "I want you to call me if anything occurs to you or if you notice anything odd at work this week."
I nodded.
"And one other thing. I don't want you to speak to anyone about the specifics of what you saw in there tonight. There may be certain details that we decide to hold back."
"Yes, I understand."
"Fine,"
he said, and then nodded to one of the patrol cops hovering nearby.
"The officer will escort you out of the building so you don't get hassled."
He strode back toward the action, and the patrol cop stepped forward to play usher for me. As he pushed open the door to the reception area, I was startled by the scene that awaited us. More cops were congregated in the reception area and also by the door to track. There was no longer any music, just the steady drone of a disgruntled crowd. Obviously, people were being held at track until the police could interview each and every one of them. But even more shocking was the scene that greeted me when I stepped out of the elevator into the lobby of the building. Through the glass windows to the street, I could see throngs of people, including tons of press.